Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County in the Mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And this is our interview for the 1st of October, 2005. Our guest elder is Chakosh Alho, and she is a Chumash elder, and I'm speaking to her in California. And how are you, Auntie?
Oh, I'm doing well, getting over a bit of a cold, trying to keep my wits straight in these strange times.
Well, I understand you want to say an opening prayer. Go ahead and say that now, if you would.
Well, I figure it's always a good idea. I'm not feeling particularly inspired tonight, but maybe Spirit will use me. Oh, great mystery, I'm calling out to you in a sacred manner. With honor and respect, we come here making ourselves vessels for thy will, thy beauty, thy love, thy truth. May we be as a hollow reed from which the pith of self is removed, so that your wisdom, the touch of your being, your breath, may flow through me to others, and may this journey be blessed. Oh, great mystery. Look at the times that we're in. On the one hand, all I could think of when I went into my prayers to see how I could be used during this phone call, I just feel the great schism between what is this spirit world and what is this political reality, you know, and how much of a reality is it? It seems pretty brutal. And all I kept hearing is, on the one hand, the Taoists say that the enemy had a weapon, and it proved to be the greatest weapon of all, and that was the ability to astound. No one could believe how ruthless they were until it was too late. And then on the other side, I hear what the Guatemalan people say. They say the elders, for all their gifts that they have given us, all the beauty, the music, the dance, the food, each other's eyes, arms to hold each other, the mountains, the volcanoes, the sky, the ocean, and all of its peoples. And for all these gifts, the gods ask but two things of us: to be beautiful and grateful. So what do you think of that? On the one hand, this astounding enemy, their ability to astonish, it's so hard for us to believe how ruthless they really are. And on the other hand, in the meantime, we are asked to be beautiful and grateful.
Oh, well, that was an excellent prayer. Thank you, Auntie. So how has life been for you this last year or so? You've been all over the map and everywhere and nowhere.
Yes, it's been very good. I'm in a state of grace and gratitude these days. I'm feeling very fortunate on my own personal life, and then paying attention to what's going on the other side, and wondering what to make of it, and like everyone else, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
So I'm just living somewhere between the Taoist saying the enemy had a great weapon. It was in fact the greatest weapon of all, and that was the ability to astound. No one could believe how ruthless they were until it was too late.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it, from Guatemala, Martin Pertel in his book spoke that the Mayan gods ask but two things of us: for all the gifts they have given us, all the wealth and beauty that they share with us, they ask us to be beautiful and grateful. So I'm somewhere living between those two realities.
Yeah, that's a trick.
Yeah, keeping your eye on what's going on and being grateful for what I have, which is a great deal. In the midst of the ugliness is something exquisite. That's what we, a core truth of something wonderful, something that's in the river that we need to let ourselves go and join others and keep our eyes open, our head above water, and celebrate the beauty that's here.
Well, you've, I guess you've been to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And have done some other events with some of the elders that you were telling me about the other night. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing a lot of storytelling and combining it with musicians who come along. We never rehearse. We just burn sage and ask spirit to guide us. And these are the stories, the ancient tales of creation, migration, and prophecy, many of which I shared with you before. And on the last interview. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's got me befuddled, and it's only in my prayers that I can find some peace. And yet it's not time for us to sedate ourselves or be distracted either. So they've got, the elders are doing well, you know, it's beautiful, and they keep carving up the land over there.
Yeah.
While I was there on the main, on Oahu, there were 300 Stryker tanks delivered, airlifted onto the island, the little island of Oahu. And these things cost $2 million apiece. And they're being, hundreds of them are being delivered to the islands all over, to Kauai, the Big Island. I'm not sure if they're slated for Maui, but probably. And these are, you know, domestic weapons.
Mm.
So, you know, and just kind of watching the noose being pulled tighter. And I feel strongly that there is a core principle, a strong medicine that is at work. You know, I think we're all looking for someone who knows, someone who will lead. And yet the elders say, the Hopi said, do not look outside yourself for the leader. I keep going over the Hopi 10 now that the Y2K thing passed. I thought maybe that's what they were talking about. But, you know, it's huge. Have you had people call you and ask you about the Hopi 10?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Multi-dimensional.
We talk about it on our Native Prophecy Council mailing list on Yahoo groups quite a bit.
Uh-huh. And what has the discussion been like with that?
Oh, just how to prepare for what might be coming, you know, what to do and in what order.
Yeah, we need to be minding our business right now, and it's important to speak our truth. That's critical, and also by way of doing that, be able to find each other and create our communities. It's remarkable what they've done with our tax dollar, collecting it as they do and then using it against us. I am very suspicious as I hear more and more about the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the ability of some rather astonishing minds who would be able to control that or set it off. Or from what I understand with this last hurricane, that there were some very strange things observed about it as it was building. And I have heard on a few other programs that they may not have the ability to whip one of those hurricanes up, but that they may be capable of directing it once it happens.
All you got to do is heat the water.
What?
All you have to do is heat the water underneath it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, in the meantime, I'm trying to be beautiful, and I'm definitely having times of extraordinary moments of gratitude. In the midst of it all, there is, as I said, that's all that I can say to you and to the people out there, is there is a still, quiet place within where one can contact the Amakua, your ancestor spirits and the high self, and that we need to get as clear as possible and find that core place. And be present, very present, because I feel there may be something wonderful coming, that this is all something in motion and in process.
And by the way, folks, if you want to take a look at Grandmother Chakosha's website, it's at blanketofhope.org. What is it? Com org or?
What is
Blankofhope.com, isn't it?
Could be .org.
Okay.
Blanket
There's a link on the blanketofhope.org. Yeah, there's a link on the page that people are listening to the interview. It'll say guest website.
Uh-huh. I haven't done too much with that website. I'd like to get all of the stories from the elders and all the one-liners. They're so helpful for these times, and just get that put up. You know, if someone would like to assist me in doing that, I can't be everywhere at once. And part of the Hopi prophecy was that at the 11th hour, we would have two technologies. One, definitely out of balance, would be a technology of destruction, and that it would present itself as a gourd of ashes in the sky, and that if it were released, it would boil the oceans and end all life as we know it. But they said that there would be an alternative technology that would be the other choice, and that would be the technology of communication, and that seen from outer space, looking back at the earth with spirit's eye, it would be like a shimmering spider's web surrounding and embracing the earth and enabling the people who were scattered to the four directions to be able to communicate and mend the sacred hoop. This is actually a petroglyph carved into a great rock on Third Mesa between Oraibi and Kaikosmovi. And Thomas Banyakya took me up there many years ago, almost 40 years ago now. And there it was, carbon dated about 1,200 years ago.
Wow.
And he knew about the World Wide Web. So we need to be communicating with each other, but using this instrument in a sacred manner, not all this garbage that they seem to be flooding us with. You got to stay straight and clear, your eye on the core truth.
Yeah. I guess there's good and bad and everything.
Yeah. It isn't what happens to you, but how you use it. I love what Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, said about the time of the lone wolf is over. We must gather ourselves. Seems to me that unifying at this time is very, very important, and to act from a sacred place.
No, it's difficult because everybody's been so used to finding reasons to get away from other people. It's awful hard to find reasons to get together with other folks. It's
Well, I did a meditation while I was waiting for you to call me, and what I got was that we must not allow ourselves to be disunified. You know, we must not allow any kinds of religious or economic or racial or any of these nonsense judgment places to come between us. We're all sacred people, and at this time, especially here on Turtle Island, where you have the Asian, African, Middle Eastern, Anglo, Native, Polynesian, all these different beautiful colors and cultures. This is such a rich soup. And in division, we will fall. And in coming together and seeing the sacred and refusing to treat each other with anything less, they're going to be working on us in the coming days very hard to divide and conquer, to distract us with all kinds of stuff. It's important to realize that it is just stuff. No. May I offer a tool from the elders for moments like these?
Yes, please.
Okay. There is something called, well, I don't know if the elders called it this, but it's how I label it, and it's called finding the center of your seat of power.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
In this life, in this level of reality that we are living, we are distracted, we are fragmented, we get so overwhelmed with the avalanche of stuff. And it's in this moment when you realize you're being pushed here and pulled there and you're out of balance, and my God, like when we open our computers, it's our emails, there's all this stuff you have to wade through. Well, there's a very easy way to take care of that psychically, spiritually. All that stuff is in our minds. It's all coming in from every angle. And so what you see yourself doing is standing and drawing a circle around yourself and leave a little space open. Then you call in the whirlwind, a little cyclone, and you call it in, and it comes in like a vacuum cleaner, and it goes and it sucks up all the stuff that's inside of that circle and all the stuff that's on you, and it goes and it sucks up all this stuff. Now, the elders say you need to realize what stuff is. Well, stuff is everything, except for the fact that you are a part of the great, divine, inexplicable miracle of this existence, that you are a cell in the body of God's Spirit. So this cyclone comes in and goes, you can feel it. Sometimes it gives me goosebumps, and it goes, sucks up all the stuff, the good stuff, the bad stuff. It's all just stuff. Everything but the fact that you're part of divine being is stuff. And it sucks it up off of you and out of inside of the circle, and then you send it out of your circle and seal the circle. Close it so it's complete. Now straighten up tall. Feel yourself moving around until you feel the exact center of that circle. You will always find it. It's there. And it goes, and as your feet slip into that place of being in the cleaned out center of your circle, you are now standing in the center of your seat of power, and you will feel it.
Oh, sounds like a good technique.
Yeah, well, it works, you know, it works. That's why I call these things the 11th hour tools for spiritual warriors who are in a hurry. And then there's the big guns. You want to know about the big guns?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is a protection against psychic drain and physical danger. And it's good to practice it in situations where you know that you usually go where it just feels like you're getting attacked or drained, or sometimes when you need physical protection. But I would start in a not too malevolent situation for starters, but practice is what makes you be able to own this tool. My teacher told me you see yourself inside of an ice blue egg. Well, I won't argue with whatever color, you know, you use, but what he said was an ice blue egg. And I'll tell you, I've stopped fists from coming at me. I've been able to hold meetings, successful meetings with people who just absolutely drained me, or I would feel very self-conscious or not in my power around. But this ice blue egg, it seems to neutralize the space between you and whatever it is that you need protection from. And I've been able to have pretty good relations with keeping things clear. It just neutralizes all the stuff.
Fascinating.
We're dealing with a lot of stuff in this life right now, but we need to recognize it as stuff, and tools are helpful.
What about, do you think physical preparations are as important as spiritual preparations, or how would you sort that out?
Well, we've got a physical body and we've got a spiritual body. I think they go hand in hand. I think one assists the other. And I think that while we're trying to figure this thing out, I think that the most important of the two is the spiritual. You need to be able to keep your head and your heart clear and strong. But I think that both may be a good idea. I think they're partners, just like, as I said, our physical and our spiritual bodies. We've been given both for a reason. And I don't think that I definitely would not start putting away water and food and all that stuff and not attend to my spiritual garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because you where your head and your heart at is the most important thing. And if push comes to shove, once you've got that in order, then it's good to know, where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relations? And it's time to, did I say, where is your water?
Mm-hmm.
Know your garden. It's time to speak your truth. Create your communities. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. And then I keep seeing, thank goodness, this elder, Hopi elder, leaned forward and his eyes sparkled and he brought his hands together and said, and this could be a good time. So I think there's a lot in there. It's like an Indian, Native American cone. Things to think about, things to be responsible to. And we must not distract ourselves. I feel as though, and I have been told, that all the people who are on the planet at this time knew exactly what they were coming for. And so it's time to hone those tools and be really decent human beings and pay attention. Oh, here's something else that the Hopis told me back around 1966. I'm in my little car with Grandfather David Menangi, Thomas Manyakya, and the Oraibi chief's husband, an amazing man named John Langsa. And I'm so concerned about my behavior and if I'm doing the right thing. And they're taking me to Walpi and Shingopavi and Shampalavi and all these different villages to meet the people. And he just told me to pull over by the side of the road, stop the car, turn off the key. And he said, now look, there are three things for you to remember. First one is to wake up and be aware. Be aware. And then he said, then ask permission. And then it is up to you. So however those words might apply to other people's lives, they need to think about that. What does that mean to you?
Most of us are just kind of unconscious all the time.
Yeah, well, they want us to be that way, you know, like squirrels in a cage and on that little wheel and just trying to pay the rent and look out for our children and, you know, the next payment on whatever. And that's all stuff. That's stuff, you know, needs to be taken care of. It's nice to have a roof that doesn't leak. But no matter what you put away for yourself in the physical realm, if you haven't found your balanced place in the spirit place, you're going to squander your actions.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Sure does. Sure does. I know we've ever since the early 80s when I really kind of became aware of what might happen, we've always kind of looked at life pretty basically and really have tried as much as we can to be mobile and still kind of have enough preparations around us that we could have as much control over, say, utility dislocations and, mm-hmm. you know, not being able to buy different things and having a little food on hand and trying to do as much as we can, you know, toward eating things that aren't processed, and you know, which that takes, you know, that involves tools and food storage and other preparations
you don't want to fixate on that sort of stuff, but it behooves us to
keep it simple.
You know, to be responsible. To
yeah, let's just keep things simple. You know, canning and gardening.
Right.
Had a great garden this year. We're going to have a better one next year. It's well, I know our pepper plants are what we did this year. I haven't even told you about that. We bought, oh, I guess about 20, 26-gallon garbage cans and filled them up with Miracle-Gro potting soil. And we've got everything plumbed with drip irrigation, and everything is, you know, it's on a clock system where it gets.
Oh, why?
You know, it
so
gets.
So you're doing container gardening.
Yeah, yeah, and we bought, let's see, I guess about 20 or so garbage cans. We also had 20 or so of about 25 gallon storage bins, like the Mermaid ones, and. Where we cut the flat part of the lids off and put up maybe 100 holes in each one, and underneath them suspended 5 1-quart painter's mixing buckets, drilled holes in those, put them in the bottom of the bottom of the bins, made a pipe so the water could get down to the bottom. Then you put the dirt on top of that. So there's always water available to the roots, and the plants can water and feed whenever they want to and don't have to depend on you for water. It's wicked up.
Excellent.
Yeah,
May I ask you why you chose to do container gardening rather than to set it right directly into the earth?
Well, we live in a mobile home.
Oh.
And the Ozarks here, you only have to dig about a quarter inch. You're going to hit about 4 rocks.
Oh, that's a good reason.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good reason.
And we chose the garbage cans we chose because like the tomato plants and things like that are really deep rooting. You know, we pepper plants and other stuff like that we put in there, and the other like row crops and everything we put in the containers, and just kind of did some experimenting this year. And
oh, that must feel so good. I
remember
in a place that I had in Southern California, the soil was pretty much clay pack, and we also had. An underground city of gophers.
Mm.
And so after some planting that didn't go very well, I just started digging holes in the ground, and then I dropped my buckets into the ground and then did the container gardening. And people didn't realize when they'd come and they'd say, wow, how'd you ever get them to grow? This looks so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they would see that they were all in containers in the mm-hmm. ground, which kept the gophers out. Mm-hmm. They eat more than their share.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a sunflower being sucked down into the ground.
Well, we've grown... all kinds of different lettuces and chard and strawberries. We're still eating strawberries. Onions, cucumbers, had a volunteer eggplant, okra, watermelon, just all kinds of stuff. We went through 85 40-pound sacks of potting mix.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so great. And it's more than just making food for yourself. There is a whole psychology and spiritual parenting that happens with caring for these miracle plants, you know, and what planting the seed and pulling the weeds and watching them grow and taking care of them.
Betty bought a little dwarf banana plant. The last
couple nights,
it's been, it's about 3 feet tall. last couple of nights have been getting kind of cool, so we brought it in and had a little 3-inch long praying mantis. Took up residence on it. That's okay. A little praying mantis that's taking up residence on itself. So he's in the house now. We got to figure out how to feed him through the winter. Shouldn't be too hard.
Who knows? Maybe it's an ancestor and it'll speak wisdom to you.
Maybe it's something that ate us in the past or will in the future. Cute little guy. We call him Mr. Magoo.
Great.
Little googly eyes, you know.
You know, when you start growing some things, it just opens up your senses to another whole world. We need to involve ourselves in the miracles inherent in this life.
It's been a lot of
focus on that, because it still continues. It's still there.
And, you know, if we...
Good to be a gardener.
If we move this mobile home someplace, you know, the garden can all be put on a, you know, a 20-foot car trailer. Just put all the containers up on there and move them.
Oh, I love
that.
Set
them someplace else. And, you know, potting soil is expensive. You're talking about 80 times, you know, 750. And,
yeah, everything's expensive.
You know, next, you know, there'll be more. You know, next, you know, we were able to do as much as we could afford, and garden will get bigger next year.
Yeah, and then you can also start mixing it when you don't have to dump this potting soil next season, but you can mix it with composting that you find and the fall leaves and the humus that, you know, is in the ground and that you find in different spots, so it can be mixed. And
yeah.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And expand it a bit.
Have some friends.
But boy, it's sure worth it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I have some friends that keep goats, and I tell you, that soil that had goat manure in it and has aged for a couple of years, that's just unbelievable stuff. Sweet potatoes we've grown also, and just all kinds of stuff. You know, Betty goes out every day and brings out. The only thing is we don't have a lawnmower. Kind of depend on the landlord here. We're in a little mobile home park. There's about 16 trailers here. We're the only sort of, it's just an old rundown place, and we're the only mobile home in here that's inhabited. And there's just the grass gets high, and so we gotta figure out did that on the money to get the inclination to get a. You really need a when you get to be our age. You really need to get a riding lawnmower, so
yeah.
That's what everybody around here in Missouri's got one. So,
or run an ad for someone who's got some goats that would like to come and graze.
Yeah, well, we're in the city, and we don't own the place, so landlord
would
allow something like that. But yeah, he's got one, but it keeps breaking down. He'll you know, spend $100 on one, and he'll run for, you know, a half a day and then quit, and he wonders why he's just a poor guy. So.
Oh, I thought you may be talking about a goat that kept breaking down.
Riding lawnmower. And, folks around here just don't have much money.
Well, that's how it's getting for the people of Turtle Island generally. Need to open up their eyes instead of resisting their economic situations. Do a wabi-sabi, what the Japanese call elegance in poverty. There are ways to be so creative and ways to really live elegantly and eloquently and have what you need on a high level. I'm finding that whatever my income has been, that my struggle was more a mental one than it was really a physical one.
Oh, yeah.
When all was said and done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just not struggling anymore.
You got to do that. I mean, you know, witness what happened in New Orleans. I mean, us poor people down there, you know. But they've just kind of, I just kind of feel like most of those people, and I grew up in Louisiana, Mississippi, around poor blacks, and you know, most of them, a lot of them just gave up generations ago. They gave up any hope.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very bitter. Some of them are not. You know, some of them are eternally. It's really individual. You know, the ones that are the bitterest are the ones that get involved in crime, and some of them are the most spiritual. Oh, some of them are the biggest spiritual warriors you ever want to meet in your life.
That's right, and look what an incredible culture was created out of that soup.
Oh, yeah.
In that area. It's just remarkable. Well, you know, I heard a story. Maybe I read it. It's about this elder, this grandfather, and he's sitting and having a talk with his grandson, and the grandson is wanting to know more about life and feeling bad because sometimes the grandson can get very angry and gets into fights with the other kids and just gets into his anger. And the grandfather is saying, well, you know, it's like with me, son. Inside of me, they're like two wolves at war with each other. One wolf is... gets bitter and angry and vengeful. One wolf inside of me wishes that I had more and that I was treated better and wants to sometimes just take what I want. And then there is the other wolf that sees that all people struggle. All people can be confused or afraid. There is the other wolf that knows that even in my poverty, I can find a gift or make something that will bring smiles to someone's eyes and I can extend my hand and help someone even though I don't have much for myself. But then there is the other wolf and they are at war with each other. And the little boy says, well, which one will win, Grandfather? And the old man looks at him, and he says, the one I choose to feed.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And as you know, there was a time where I was in a terrible car crash, which killed my friend who was driving. And that when the rescue workers came, they wrote on this piece of paper that we were both dead. They saw no vital signs. So on one level, I died, not only there at the scene of the car crash, but 2 days later when the breathing apparatus was removed and I awoke to find myself not able to breathe and that this time I knew I was dying. And what I know from this and what I can share with other people is what, again, Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, said to me just a week before this car crash happened. He said, you know, there is no such thing as death. There is no such thing. In this universe, this reality, there is no such thing as death. There is only life. Life in this body and life without it. And then he also said, and it's important that you know that in these really violent deaths, that the soul will always leave the body just before it happens. And then a week later, I died. And I know this is not a belief or a desire to believe, but from my experience, I know that one minute you can be in your body, and the next minute you've let go of it, and the difference is imperceptible.
Mm-hmm.
And why I think we need someone who comes from the other side to help us across in our consciousness, because I still felt like me, I still felt my personality, I could still feel my body. I didn't have a clue, and not for a moment did my consciousness, was there nothing. One moment I was in the car with my friend, and the next minute my experience was we were walking down the highway together, having the most interesting conversation I'd ever had. And then when they started bringing me back, at first the noise and the light seemed like a dream that was trying to intrude on my reality of walking down the highway with my friend. And then that the second reality became more real, and then I saw her go off without me. But that we mustn't allow a fear of death to interfere or to complicate our walking a true path.
I don't think anybody,
when we're on it, we know we're there.
I don't think anybody's really afraid of dying. I think they're just afraid of the pain. You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think you're kind of nuts to not want to, you know, change worlds. And I think it's just the unknown, you know, of...
I'm trying to stay open as we speak, and we're sort of exploring this unknown territory of this public conversation, dialogue that we're having with each other, and to see what comes up. And this seems to be an important thing. Grandfather Victor Lopez Gallego said, don't cry and call out for the elders who have gone on, and be afraid that we won't be here for you. He said, it is important that you understand that this time, the veil of illusion between this life and those that have gone on to the next, this consciousness and the greater, higher consciousness that is never ending and always present, the veil is at its thinnest. And we, the elders who have gone on, want to help all those who ask and all those who wish to be of service. We want you people to succeed. And there is a way that you can contact us. And then he told me, at night, he said, eat lightly, fast if you can, or just eat very lightly, very mild food so that your body isn't all taken up with trying to digest the last meal. And he said, adjust yourself in your bed so that you can lie perfectly flat with your spine straight. And he said, take a pillow and slip it under your left elbow so that you can rest your left hand over your heart, and that it's supported so it won't slip down. And then take your right hand and lay it at your side. Find a comfortable angle with the palm open. Left hand resting on your heart. Right hand open. And he said, and then just breathe us in. Do whatever ritual is necessary for you to feel that you are only opening and availing yourself to high spirit, clear spirit. And he said, and we will come. And we'll guide you. And we may use you. And should there come a point where you wish to break that link, you know, he said, just roll over on your side. Just, break the position. And I did that for years. I'm wanting to start that again soon because I'm feeling a great desire for guidance these days. And I'm, you know, what are we here for if not to serve and make life a little easier for each other? And if the elders are that close and that the simple positioning of our body and our intention can open us to them.
I was going to say, I think intention is really important because what little I know about Cherokee medicine is that Cherokee medicine people create their own. And they take what they know with them when they leave, and but they develop their own. And I think everybody just kind of, it's kind of a free form intention, just little rituals that they create for certain reasons. And I know I've read that Grandfather Mad Bear, he knew when the elders on the other side wanted to contact him because, you know, there'd be a knock on a window or a door.
Uh-huh.
So he'd, and every once in a while I'll get that too. I'll be laying in bed, kind of half awake, half asleep, and I'll hear this bam, 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 you know, and I've heard this in trucks in the middle of nowhere where no one could have come close to the, different places, different times, and haven't heard it quite some time, but I guess the morning before last, I heard the knocks, and I knew it was a spirit knock because the dogs didn't go nuts.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, there was about 3 minutes after I got up, there was an important phone call that came and that I really needed to take. It was somebody that needed some assistance, wanted to know about a product that my wife's taking to help out her diabetes. And it never ceases to amaze me how spirit it'll help you run your life if you listen.
Yes, if you provide a portal for it, and usually that's in a ceremony or a ritual that sets your intention. And it's absolutely available, and it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just our attention.
That's right. That's what we keep telling people, is we want to enable them to know when to get out of the way of things so that they don't get caught up in them. And, we want people to be a do-it-yourself prophet. You know, Moses said, hey, this is okay. You know, when people came complaining to him in the camp of Israel, you know, oh, Moses, there's people running around prophesying. You know, what are you going to do? And his reply was, well, basically, well, so what? You know, I would that everybody could be a prophet. So It's a very basic something that that everybody can tap into and get protection from, and help to run your life. Is that gift of knowing what Creator wants you to do, but you got to surrender. You know, that's the tough part. Is if you don't continue to surrender, That's what John Redhead kept saying before he died. You know, he said our job is to surrender. You know, we come here with free will, and you know, it could be a big party. He says, and our job is to learn how to surrender.
Well, you know, its spirit is there. I mean, it really is there, and but it only comes in the surrender. But it's an interesting dichotomy in that you are responsible and yet you surrender. You don't give over your responsibility to right action, but there is a place. To me, I'm trying to find the words for it, and it's, I don't know, it's a surrender to core truth. The Brazilians have a wonderful term that means something to me. It's they let spirit ride them. And we don't have to be long meditators in the perfect diet and having, come to a place of great spiritual evolvement. It's just the wherever you are, it will meet you there. However low, high, whatever, just to, I find the breath, conscious breathing, is a really quick way to that core point, that place of peace.
Yeah, that's one of the first things Spirit told me was remember the sacred breath.
Yahweh is not a word for God that's not to be spoken. It's to be breathed, like the aloha, the namaste. It is in this body we breathe from our first breath as we come out of the mother's womb to our last breath as we shed the old overcoat and leave it behind us.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
Well, you're in a very cultural rich environment out there in California. There's a lot of things going on.
Lots happening.
Yeah,
just oodles.
I get email from a lot of different directions, and there's one conference. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh yeah.
It's
a movie, too.
Well, that's how I found out about Maria Yasebrew, and she's a mixed-blood Apache, lives down in San Diego. Started interviewing her a couple of weeks ago. She's really busy, so it's hard to get an appointment with her. And my telephone network went down, so I got about 15 minutes, but we'll have her on again sometime soon.
Oh, I hope so.
And,
women have a lot to say right now.
Oh,
you know, the Bioneers Conference is coming up in about 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that's very important. And I tell people to check the website for the Bioneers Conference.
Well, you're about, what, halfway in between L.A. and the Bay Area?
Oh, I'm north of the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people are being incredibly creative. You know, this is the time to do it. If you ever had a vision, a dream, as Goethe has said, the universe loves boldness. Whatever you can dream, you can begin it, and the universe will rise to meet you. It is really true at this time. This is not a time to stand still. And sometimes we may not know the whole picture and what we're supposed to be doing, but we've got a feeling, an inkling. Well, I say your prayers, light some sage or some sweet grass and some cedar and some kapal, some frankincense, whatever gets you, and just do it. Just begin. And not to use the word struggle. I'm told we're supposed to expulse the word struggle from our vocabulary and our mindset. And do whatever you have to do in a sense of celebration. It's all about your attitude. And just begin it. And everything will come from that. Just begin it. This is not a time to be standing still, you know. Have your rituals, say your prayers, and ask to be used in a good way, and move forward. We're a nation of sacred souls. There's tons of us out there, tons of us, and it's happening all over the earth right now. There is an invitation to consciousness and right action, and this is the time. When the elders called me back to Hopi in 93 and they said, Jakosh, you've been telling the people this is the 11th hour. Well, now you must go back and tell them it is the hour and there are things to be considered. And not to do it in a sense of fear. There is no death. There is just life. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Say your prayers.
Your good advice.
Do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I have much more to say about that, but it sure is good talking to you, nephew.
Well, we sure appreciate you. Yeah, the interesting spirit just told me the interview's over, and then you said it was over. I know who's running this show tonight.
Yeah, spirit really is there. You know, it really does exist. And we just have to, when people say, oh, that was wonderful, your story, so da-da-da-da-da-da, and they, how do you do this? Oh, I could never do that. And I said, look, my job is to just show up and then find a way to get out of the way.
Well, I was getting ready to think, oh, this is over. Well, how am I going to suggest to her we end the interview? And then she ends the interview.
We work for the same spirit.
And here you're worried. When we started, you know, that you were kind of distracted and you wondered how this was going to go tonight. And so I guess the Carlos Nakai and the candles and whatever else you've been burning in there.
And I kept breathing.
Yep.
We're such vessels of miracles. We are capable of so much if we just stay clean and show up. It's just so important for people to stay away from these drugs that our government is actually making so available and wants us to saturate ourselves with. And of course they want, you know, people who are comatose. But we've got everything that we need in the vessels we were born with. And now is the time.
Have you got a little winged friend in there at your house?
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, my bird here has, his name is Huckabrat. And he just starts going. He does this little two-step kind of a rumba.
What is he?
He's a cockatiel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it didn't sound like a budgie.
No, he's got a million different sounds. He's not very sociable, but he's having a good time right now.
Well, We'll let you go pay some attention to him and give him a kiss for us.
Yeah, and I've got a new kitty that just came up and took his place in my lap, purring away. You know, grow your garden, know where your water is, speak your truth, be good to each other. And we don't need a leader. You know, we're sacred spirits.
That's certainly true. Well, thanks so much, Auntie.
Love on you, Blue Otter, and blessings to all of you. We're here now. Let's do it.
And folks, I want to be sure and visit her website and the links on the page you're listening from. Let her know how you feel. She'd love to hear from you. Well, this has been October 1st edition of 2005 of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we'll see everybody again next week. Aho. Good night now.
This is Yasa Sago, a seventh-grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. Thank you.
Let the truth